Remaker's Mark, Episode 44, The Blues Brothers. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Remaker's Mark. Here we are in our 44th episode, where we will be discussing the musical comedy The Blues Brothers. With me, as always, are my friends Andy Wicks. Andy, how are you doing tonight, and what is your favorite movie based on a Saturday Night Live sketch?
I am super duper, and that would naturally be 1994's It's Pat.
Ooh, naturally. Interesting. Naturally.
Which has a stunning 2.7 out of 10 rating on IMDb.
Solid. I assume zero is the worst or the best.
Sure.
Yeah, it's ratings golf.
If somehow it could be under par, it would be amazing.
I can only assume that you're lying. If not, then I have to question a whole lot of things about our friendship.
And this podcast.
And this podcast.
I really wanted to make sure that I didn't Wix anybody on this episode.
You took one for the team big time.
I assume I'm safe in choosing It's Pat.
He didn't take low-hanging fruit. He took the fruit rotting on the ground.
Putrid, festering fruit.
Pat. Well, moving on. Jeremy Nielsen, how are you doing tonight? And what is your favorite SNL-based movie?
I'm doing great. And my favorite movie is probably going to have to be, and I will take the low-hanging fruit, Wayne's World.
Nice. Good choice. It's excellent.
It's the second best choice, yes.
Ooh, nice. Nice. Next to Pat.
Next to Pat.
Indeed.
And Stewart saves the world.
Indeed. Featuring our great senator, Mr. Al Franken.
Mr. Al Franken. But yes. No, Wayne's World, classic in its time.
Nice. Good call. Lee Guitar Murphy, how are you doing tonight, and what is your favorite SNL-based movie?
I'm well, and I'm going to have to also say the first Wayne's World. I assume Jared meant Wayne's World, too.
I did, actually.
Yep. So first
Who's Anthony?
Wayne's
Who's
World.
Anthony? Who's Anthony?
only because it got me to listen to Queen more.
Nice.
So, let's be honest. Good. It got an entire generation of Gen Xers to listen to Queen more.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good call.
Yep.
Thanks, Wayne and Garth. Good work. Mark Chosting, how are you tonight? And what is your favorite SNL-based film?
I'm great, thanks. And, of course, the real answer is Wayne's World. I'm going to go with the first one. But, you know, for sake of variety, I'm going to say The Ladies' Man.
Ooh, nice.
Because that's a pretty fun movie.
I still haven't seen that, so I should seek it out. I'm sure it's on some sort of streaming something or other.
I'm pretty sure it's free on YouTube. It's a pretty fun movie.
Nice. Good.
And I
heard good things
good
about
thing
it.
Tim Meadows did in Saturday Night Live.
Ooh. Ouch.
I mean, the only good thing he was allowed to do. I'll say
I mean, no, shirt, yeah. Shirt in a Can was pretty
Shirt
good.
In a Can was pretty awesome.
Awesome. I'll see if we can link that up in the show notes. Yeah.
Also, his impression of Johnny Cochran. But
that's true. That's a good one.
Anyway.
Nice. So my name is Kyle Delahunt. I will be your host once again, as always. I would say probably Blues Brothers 1, Wayne's World 2. But putting those aside, I'm going to go MacGruber. It's dumb in the best ways
Nice. And
ridiculous in the best ways. And I love it for that very reason. So everyone should see MacGruber and go. Well, OK, wait till you're done with the podcast, then go see MacGruber. All right.
Speaking of this, before we get into Blues Brothers, we should also link. I just read. I think it was Rolling Stone. Maybe put out an article of rating every single cast member that has ever been on Saturday Night Live from worst to best.
Jeez. Wow.
I read the entire article, and it's actually I don't have many qualms with it, but I'll find it so we can link it because it's a pretty awesome bit of trivia, and I didn't realize how many different people that I didn't know were actually on Saturday Night Live for brief stints.
Yeah, it's crazy. Kind of in the dark era, there was like amazing kind of, you know, 90s, eventual 90s talent making bad comedy on SNL in the 80s. It was pretty, pretty crazy.
And then there was a season in 83, 84, somewhere in there, where they just fired the whole cast and started over.
Yeah.
And so there was this replacement cast halfway through. Like Gilbert Gottfried and people like that were all of a sudden Saturday Night Live players. It was just bizarre.
But weird.
I'll send it to you so we can link that up too, because it's a pretty good read.
Yeah, I'm excited to read that. Thanks for the call out. That's rad. So this is the first part of Blues Brothers, but before we get into that, I'm going to do a recommendation. So the Blues Brothers was my pick, so I'm going to give a quick recommendation. It is a podcast called Hello from the Magic Tavern, and it is one of the funniest things I've heard in a good long while. So the premise of the podcast, I kid you not, is that a guy named Arnie fell into a magic portal behind a Burger King and was transported to a magical land called Foon, where he has sort of taken up residence at a tavern, and he can pick up just enough Wi-Fi from the Burger King to publish a podcast every week. So he basically has two co-hosts, a shapeshifter named Chunt, yes, Chunt, and a wizard named Usador, and they bring on special guests from around the town of Foon. It's ridiculous, super nerdy. It's basically kind of improv comedy that's very well planned. So, you know, I don't think that they go in knowing everything they're going to say. I think they probably have an outline.
Yeah, it's probably loosely scripted.
Yeah, but it's improv comedy at its finest. And my God, is it funny. It is just like ludicrously funny. I walk around the Skyways at lunch at work, and people must think I'm nuts because I'm just walking around like almost in tears laughing so hard from listening to this. And I started, I don't know, maybe 8 days ago, and I think I'm on episode 28 or something like that. So I'm just diving headfirst in, as should you. It's really good.
The guys that do that are from the IO Theater in Chicago. And my wife and I went to go see a show there once a couple years ago where it was one of those where the audience gave them two words upon which they had to base an entire Shakespearean play. And the two words were, the phrase ended up being critical mass. And they put on about a 45 minute show based on critical mass. That was amazing.
That's so cool. Love that. So yeah, Hello from the Magic Tavern. Definitely check it out. We'll link to that in the show notes. But man, if you're looking for a good chuckle and are even the slightest bit nerdy or just really into improv comedy, you will be very, very happy with it. So yeah. Dig it.
Mm-hmm. I was itching for a good laugh cry at work, and that sure did it.
Yes, it sure does. Indeed.
To change it up from the cry laugh that usually is what's going on.
Yeah, or you know, the cry.
The cry. Right.
Exactly. So the cry heave, the cry bonk.
The silent cry. I love the silent cry.
Does the wizard and the shapeshifter understand what a podcast is?
Not really. They keep asking him Earth questions, and he doesn't want to talk about Earth stuff. He keeps saying that, so they know that it's kind of like an interview thing, but not really.
I love that in the first episode that he has to tell listeners not to do a Google image search for Chunt.
Yeah. yep. Yeah. So good. Anywho, coming back along here, as usual, in the first part of our episode here, we will be discussing the Blues Brothers, and we will be recasting it. But before we do so, Andy, would you mind just giving us a bit of a summary of the film, and we'll talk a little bit about our history with it?
Absolutely. The Blues Brothers is a 1980 action musical comedy, or ACMUSIDY, written by Dan Aykroyd and John Landis, and directed by Landis. It stars Aykroyd and the incomparable John Belushi as Elwood and Jake Blues, our titular brothers. As the movie begins, Jake is released from prison, picked up by his brother Elwood. He finds out that Elwood traded the original Bluesmobile for a microphone, and that the orphanage where they grew up is being threatened with foreclosure unless it can pay its tax bill. God, with the help of the Reverend Cleophas James, tells the brothers to reunite the band to raise the money to save the orphanage. As plots go, it's a thin one, but nevertheless, hilarity and car chases ensue.
Indeed. Good summary.
Thank you. Thank you for whoever added the car chases, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome. How did this not get nominated for Best ACMUSIDY in 1980?
You know, the category didn't start till 1982.
Okay.
This is a good movie trigger. For me. This is another one of the chalk it up to the first saw it on TV, and therefore saw the TV version, which I think was really edited down. For a lot of different reasons, but actually violence probably being the biggest one just because of the wanton destruction that occurs in this movie, but we'll talk about that later. Kyle, this was your pick. Tell us why you picked it.
Yeah, I have fond memories of this. I feel like I watched this at way too young of an age, like third, fourth grade, maybe, which upon watching it again, I was like, boy, there is really bad language in this. And, you know, the premise is not that, like, filthy by any means. Like, some of it is kind of sweet, like trying to help people out. But, man, yeah, language and just the wanton violence throughout is pretty extreme. But, man, I just remember having, like, I listened to this soundtrack all the time. You know, I remember that it was an SNL sketch, and I remember being a big fan of SNL. So, yeah, I was just pretty much all in on this movie from the moment that I saw it, however old I was, way too young. But just really, really loved it. Loved the craziness, loved the action, loved all the music, you know, would sing along and, you know, air guitar along, what have you. But yeah, it's just a classic in all ways, in so much so that we wondered if we could remake it. And I think that will probably be a pretty big discussion in part two as to how successful we could be or will be. But we shall see. I won't foreshadow too much there. Anyone else have any history they want to throw in there?
I'll just say that this movie I too saw probably in middle school when I first started watching movies a lot. And I have loved this movie from the first time I saw it, but the love that I have for it now is different and for different reasons than why I loved it then. Like I have appreciated different things about it as I have grown older, the music being one of them. But it's just it is a timeless, incomparable movie, and we can't remake it. We should just stop right now.
Shortest podcast ever.
No, it's just phenomenal, and I remember watching it back in middle school and just thinking, like, what in the world is this, and why are there so many cars crashing?
Yep, indeed. So now moving on to the recasting side of things, we're going to have two major characters, and then after that, we're going to focus on music a little bit. So the musicians played a big part in the first one, so we're each going to kind of pick a musician or musician-ish character cameo for the second part instead of minor characters this go around. So up first is Elwood. Andy, tell us about Elwood Blues.
Elwood Blues is the loyal brother of Jake. He puts up with a lot. Jake criticizes the new Bluesmobile. Jake falls asleep in Elwood's bed, and Jake's estranged girlfriend keeps trying to kill them. Despite this, he stays true to their goal. After all, they're on a mission from God. Elwood was originally played by Dan Aykroyd, and played very well, in my opinion. My choice to recast the role is someone who I feel is a, the son that Dan Aykroyd may not know that he has. I don't know. Someone who I've chosen before on this podcast to absolutely zero appreciation or votes from anyone else. I'm going to toss him out there again because I really truly think that he would do very well in this role. I am choosing Nelson Franklin.
I do not remember that was.
Well, you look him up. Nelson Franklin is another one of the, oh, that guy. He's been in a lot of things. He's been on The Office. He's been on New Girl. He's been on, he was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Mm-hmm. A lot of different things. He's in Argo and Jobs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nelson Franklin is a tall, rather gangly looking guy who, in my opinion, actually looks a lot like Dan Aykroyd did back in the 1980 time period.
I can see it.
Some people might call it. Also, what I'm looking for is if you think about the Blues Brothers, Jake and Elwood, Elwood didn't bring a lot of musicality to that pairing. I'll say, I'm going to go on the limb there and say most of that
harmonica.
I didn't say a lot. And if you actually listen to the harmonica parts played, I'll still say not a lot.
However,
he brought a lot of spirit and warmth to the movie and a lot of comedy, in my opinion. And I think these are all things that Nelson Franklin can do. And especially when paired with my pick for Jake, upon whom I think rests most of the musical workload. So Nelson Franklin is my choice for Elwood Blues. I expect that he will get one vote in the voting round, but that's okay. I believe in my pick.
He's quite a good singer too.
Nelson Franklin?
Yes.
Well,
that changes everything. Why didn't you say that?
Well, there goes that pick. Shit. But anyway, I really like him.
No, Andy, that makes it better.
Oh, it does? Oh, okay. Well, it kind
You're
of...
casting him as a musician.
But not a very good musician. That's the point. Anyway.
I don't know what you're trying to prove, honestly.
I'm trying to prove that I think Nelson Franklin would do a great job playing Elwood Blues. I don't think Dan Aykroyd was that great of a singer, personally. He was enthusiastic. He wasn't talented. He was enthusiastic. There's a difference.
Fair enough.
Mark, who's your choice for Elwood?
So I'm not going to say that my pick is for Elwood exactly. You see, I don't think this movie can be remade. And I didn't try.
Okay.
Instead of having a Blues Brothers movie, I'm kind of setting up a Metal Brothers movie.
Yeah, somebody on my wavelength. Okay. I'm going to vote for Mark.
Thank you. Would you like to hear my pick?
Yes, I would.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, my choice for this role is Igor Cavalera. He was the drummer for Sepultura, one of the great and most influential death metal bands of the 90s and the 80s as well. But, he's kind of stoic and a little understated. Elwood was not a ferocious drummer, but Igor is. He's a tremendous musician. I should save some of this exposition for my Jake pick, because it'll make more sense then. So yeah, my choice for the Elwood Blues sort of role is Igor Cavalera, the drummer from Sepultura.
Well, I think we can officially say no one saw that one coming.
I think we can also officially say there will be at least two cast members getting one vote.
I like this. This is just going to be one vote down the line.
Tiebreakers all the way around.
I may not vote for mine, but but I think it'll be a fun movie.
Nice. I like it.
I am intrigued.
Hey, Kyle, want to get us back on track?
I sure will, Mark, though you didn't take it off track. You just went differently tracked. Multi-tracked. How about that? There we go.
Nice.
That was weird. Thank you. Thank you very much. I really went with what Mark kind of went with here as far as the musicality of it. Now, admittedly, Elwood is not a virtuoso by any means, but I wanted somebody that could bring that energy. One of my favorite things, I'm such a music nerd that like whenever I watch a band play on a movie, if they're not actually playing what is happening in the music, it totally bugs me. It doesn't like completely take me out of it, but I'm like, psh. You know, I judge it. Let's just say I judge it. And in this movie, it's not. I mean, like you watch the bass player. That's who I mostly watch. The bass player was just throwing down riffs like crazy. But the only exception.
Donald Duck Dunn.
Yeah.
And it's hard to play anything, you know, with two hands when you're smoking.
Yes.
I mean, literally smoking. That's hard.
A pipe in that beard. Yeah. Oh, my God. So great. So, yeah, I mean, he was about the only person that I saw that really wasn't holding up was the bass player in the church sequence, which, like, there's no way that anyone could keep up with the bass line in that song. But that's another whole story or a whole another story. So, anyways, coming back around to my pick, I decided that I wanted to go with someone that kind of had that Midwest vibe, who was a musician, who is tall and lanky and kind of dark, would look really good behind sunglasses in a dark suit. And I went with Jack White from The White Stripes. he has done some acting. He was in, I can't remember the name of the... Oh, Cold Mountain. He was
Cold
in
Mountain.
That. Yep, he was in Coffee and Cigarettes playing himself with his ex-wife and former bandmate, Meg. And he has done some other appearances just kind of as himself.
He was in the Dewey Cox story as Elvis.
Yeah, he played Elvis.
He was
that.
Great.
Yep, indeed. Yeah, he's just the kind of personality where you're going to get Jack White, right? Like there's a little bitty Harvey Keitel syndrome here. You're not going to get a huge amount of range, but Elwood is opposite range. So I think that's fine. He's a pretty flat, and I think he would do that really, really well. And as far as like what he would bring to the musicality of it, I think it would be phenomenal. I mean, he can do so many different things. He can do down home blues. He can do hard rock. You know, he can really do it all. So yeah, I think he would just kick some serious ass on the music side. And I think his acting would be good enough where you would basically just be waiting from music scene to music scene. And he could probably drive a car around to get, you know, destroy some cars along with it. So yeah. So Jack White of the White Stripes, Raconteurs, what have you, is my pick for Elwood.
That's inspired.
Thank you.
I like it.
Thank
this,
you.
this is as all over the place as I expected and hoped it would be.
Indeed. Indeed. How about you, Jer? On to you. What's your pick?
Speaking of all over the place, I am also along the same lines as you guys, kind of looking at this less as the Blues Brothers and more of the Rock Brothers. I envisioned my movie to be where the Blues Brothers was inspired by 60s and 70s Chicago blues. Mine would be more inspired by 70s and 80s rock. And so I, for my Elwood or Elwina Blues, I went with Dana Fuchs, she played in Across the Universe as Sadie. And she's also played in a Janis Joplin biopic, and she is a musician. She has a band, and she has an amazing voice and acts just fine. And she would have the vocal style that I would want right in that early 80s blondie Janis. Well, Janis Joplin's earlier than that, but that style of sort of gritty, gravelly female rock voice. To add to our pile of weird, I'm going with Dana Fuchs.
I like it. Like, she would do like a mean Lita Ford impression.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, oh, nice. Sure. Somewhere between Janis Joplin and Lita Ford. I like that. I would listen to that and watch that.
And I like her as she did fine in Across the Universe as an actress. I think she can act just fine. It's not her strongest suit, which is obviously singing, but. I don't think that you necessarily need great comic actors to make this movie good. And
agreed.
But I'll talk about that when that time comes on the later episode too. But Dana Fuchs, everybody. Fantastic voiced gravelly 80s rock star. And to wrap us up with our Elwood Blues picks, Lee, take us home.
Well, sticking with the all over the place theme, I suppose. I stuck with the blues theme a little bit because I know this actor is musical and he has sort of a good stony silent presence, which I think is needed. And of course he can be funny. So I went with, who did I go with again?
Igor Cavallaro.
A Milford Mansion neither be seen nor heard.
Jamie Foxx. Sorry, Jamie Foxx.
Oh, nice.
I don't know why his name escaped me for a second, but yeah, I thought it was a good fit for this type of role and changes things up a little bit. And
he
I
would
know
have been
that,
a natural to play Ray Charles in the remake.
Yep.
Oh, man. Somebody should tag him to play Ray Charles.
I know. He really could be good at it.
I think he could win an award for that.
He does have an outstanding voice.
Yeah, and you know, I think he's very musical. He's very funny. He can kind of do it all. So that was the first one that I cast.
Nice, so,
Jamie Foxx.
Mm-hmm.
I like that confidence behind that.
Yeah,
Django himself.
Django Fett.
Nice.
Django yes. Fett.
A bounty hunter named Django Fett.
Django Reinhardt.
Django Reinhardt. There we go.
Lee casts Django Reinhardt as Elwood Blues.
CG Django Reinhardt. Ah, lordy. So in the role of Elwood Blues, originally played by Dan Aykroyd, Andy went with Nelson Franklin. God, this is so great. Mark went with Igor Cavallera. I went with Jack White. Jer went with Dana Fuchs. And Lee went with Jamie Foxx. Up next is the role of Joliet Jake Blues.
Sorry,
can we just
wrap up that last one by saying, from Fuchs to Fox.
Yes, we can, Andy. Would you like to do that?
No, go ahead.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. From Fuchs to Fox. Is that what you were looking for?
Yeah, something
you
like
happy?
That. Sure. I mean,
okay, cool.
Sure. I mean, okay.
Don't
it's
edit
okay.
any of that.
I won't. It's top-notch production. You were.
I believe Fuchs is actually German for fox, too. So two foxes.
Interesting. Nice. There's our title. Two foxes. Nice. Anyways, Joliet Jake Blues, originally played by troubled comic genius John Belushi, is the harder of the two Blues Brothers, both starting and finishing the movie in jail and committing all sorts of crimes in between. Not that Elwood is innocent of that at all, mind you. He's a great singer, a surprisingly light-footed dancer, and seemingly not the best romantic partner. This one, I kept trying not to cast this person. I kept thinking, you know, maybe there's somebody different. Maybe there's someone whose energy is a better match for John Belushi. Maybe someone whose physicality matches it better than this person. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know what? There's no one better. There's no one better than this person to fill the shoes of John Belushi.
You cast Jim Belushi, didn't you?
And I cast Jim Belushi. I did. No, I didn't.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
No, I cast Jack Black for this.
Nice.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I can see,
you know, he's, you know, a little pudgy as John Belushi was, but he can move like nobody's business. He's very musical, yeah, as he's demonstrated in many movies such as School of Rock. He's really, really funny. He can be totally over the top, but he can be very muted as well. I think the only thing that ever bugs me about him is that sometimes his eyes give away his comedy a little bit. And given that he's going to be hidden behind sunglasses most of the time, I'm like, you know what? This could actually work in Jack Black's favor. I like this. This is good. So I mean, I just, again, I tried not to pick him because it's like, it's very spot on, but it was the spot on that I believe in. So, so Jack Black was my guy.
That is spot on in a way that I love.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. That's where I landed as well. Jer, how about you? Who is your Juliet, Jake?
Jack Black. My reasons are much like yours, and especially thinking that I wanted to bend mine towards rock music, especially the 70s and 80s rock music, which seems to be exactly where Jack Black's voice tends to go, especially when you look at School of Rock and he's basically doing impressions of Led Zeppelin and The Who most of the time. And that's exactly what I would want him to do. But I would want him to do it in a very sincere way, much like John Belushi did in, you know, John Belushi's not a blues musician, but the sincerity of the Blues Brothers sells the movie. And Andy and I were talking about that last week, how the way they sing, the way they dance, it's not making fun of anything. It's not goofy for goofy's sake. They're really trying their hardest, and you believe in what they're doing. And I think that Jack Black would have that same sort of vibe that would make the movie have what I would think would be the right tone to hit it right. So I did go with Jack Black as well.
Nice.
I rather appreciate that for the contrast to Dana Fuchs. I think she would be a great foil for a Jack Black.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah. Totally.
And to imagine the two of them having fronted an old rock band, trying to get it all back together, like, that must have been some crazy times, man.
Yeah.
Well put.
So, yeah, I like that pairing as well, and I want to see that movie, and that's what this is all about, really, isn't it? So, again, I'm going to pass the baton over to Lee to find out Lee's Juliet Jake.
Well, I think Jake is a bit more of a loose cannon, so I wanted someone that could fit that mold, be funny, and yet could sing. And I realized that this is the Blues Brothers. I just need to preface this a little bit. but there's nothing saying that they can't be half brothers or adopted brothers or stepbrothers or whatever. So I went with our old friend Ewan McGregor.
What? That's awesome.
Yep. I know he can sing. I know he's funny. And I know he can be a little unhinged. And if you
that's awesome.
I really want this to end up that Ewan McGregor and Jamie Foxx are both Scottish.
I would love to see that actually.
But I think that could work.
Yeah. But that's my pick.
Or maybe they're not related at all and Blues Brothers is just the name of their band.
Could be, yeah.
But I like it better.
I would rather have it be that they're brothers and it is never questioned somehow that they're just brothers. That's it.
And maybe somebody brings it up at some time, like, really, you guys are brothers? And like, yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't really explain.
At some point they go to meet their dad and it's Stevie Wonder.
It's like John Stewart and Andy Dick being twins on news radio. When, you know, no one has the heart to tell Andy Dick that they're not twins.
Oh my gosh, I forgot all about that.
Oh, goodness. But, wow. Lee, good pick, man. That is intriguing as I'll get out.
Their parents would be Stevie Wonder and Tilda Swinton.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yikes.
But let's move on to Mark.
So let me just quickly recap my Elwood pick, who was Igor Cavalera, the drummer from the Brazilian death metal band Sepultura. My pick for Joliet Jake Blues is Max Cavalera, Igor's older brother, the guitarist, one of the guitarists and the vocalist for the Brazilian death metal band Sepultura. Igor is kind of the stoic one. Max is the super expressive one. Yeah, and again, this is a metal remake. And I picked actual brothers for it. These two, I think, really, really fit the personality profiles of these two characters. And that is what I am doing. So Max Cavalera for Jake.
Have either of them acted before, Mark, as far as you know?
Not a whit.
Every time they're on stage.
That's fair.
Well, that is fair.
That's amazing.
Anyway, so that's what I got going on. Andy, wrap us up, please.
Jack Black.
Nice. Boy, we haven't had a three by in quite a long
time.
Have we ever?
Have we ever?
I feel like we've had maybe once.
I don't
know. So
it is so spot on.
I know. And not
I can't believe I considered somebody else.
Not to beat it a horse. I think putting him in the outfit and behind the sunglasses and everything like that would be great. Like I said before, the majority of the musical load is going to fall on Jake's shoulders, and Jack Black has clearly shown he can do that. So, and I actually think he would do a really good job as a blues singer, singing as John Belushi did. He's not going to be, no one's going to mistake him for an authentic blues man, but everyone will say, huh, he's a pretty good singer and he's an entertainer if nothing else. And even though I still think my pick for Elwood of Nelson Franklin is perfect, I think it would be funny to have Jack Black and Jack White.
Just from the bill
would be pretty cool. Exactly. However, I don't think Jack White would do a very good job. I think he'd be
I went
poor.
With a different black and white than Lee did, but same idea.
This is our Ebony and Ivory episode.
So wait a minute.
I am Duck and you are
So, but no, Jack Black.
So of our five groupings, we have to play the two brothers, we have a guy and a girl. A Scot and an African-American, two actual brothers, two people with the same name, and Andy's crappy pick. Oh!
Oh, my God. Wow.
We are out of practice.
I think we can say we've gone from Fuchs to Fox on this one. Oh, Lordy. All right. Let's recap Mr. Joliet Jake here. I went with Jack Black, as did Jer and Andy. Lee went with Ewan McGregor, and Mark went with Max Cavalera. Whew. Wow. Good stuff. So that is the two major character picks. Now, we are on to musician cameos. So in The Blues Brothers, this is pretty close to a musical. It's not fully musical. There's a lot of dialogue, but man, oh man, is the music insane. The original had incredible talent. I mean, their band is as good as it gets in terms of rhythm and blues. Aretha Franklin, James Brown, man, you name it. It was a whole lot of people. Ray Charles, just tons and tons of talent in the original. Cab Calloway. Oh, he was a good actor, too.
Yeah.
I really liked his performance.
Yeah, he did a good job.
They had legit blues stars with 2-second cameos in this play. Like John Lee Hooker was on screen for like 3 seconds.
Yep. Yeah. My favorite part of that is that little fight that he had with the guy at the end of the song. He was like a total joke fight. He was like, I wrote that. He's like, no, I wrote that. Like John Lee Hooker is out in the streets of Chicago just like hamming it up. I love it. So good. Anywho, so what I proposed for this one and what we're going to do is basically similar to how in the first one, you know, James Brown plays a preacher, Aretha Franklin plays a restaurant owner who is the wife of one of the musicians. So kind of coming up with a scenario in which these musician cameos can exist. So we are going to be talking about who the musician is and how they will fit into our remake. So, Mark, you are up first. So tell us who your musician is and how they fit in kind of whatever way you want.
Okay. So, recall the scenario that I'm setting up. in my Metal Brothers remake, where the Blues Brothers are trying to raise money to save the orphanage. In my remake, the Cavalera Metal Brothers will be raising money to save a club, and the club owner will be played by Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie.
I think Rob Zombie could actually be an orphanage nun as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's Rob Zombie with a ruler just smacking people. I mean, terrifying.
Yeah, it's got potential.
That will haunt me.
So the instance is that they're trying to save a club. Okay.
Yeah. I would add that I was so close to... I couldn't, but I was so close to choosing CGI Lemmy for that role.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think either way you couldn't have gone wrong. So I would have felt equally positive towards both.
Yeah. So that's my weird movie. Hey Lee, how about yours?
Well, when I was rewatching this, it kind of struck me that the two state troopers who are constantly chasing them would be an interesting pair to cast and to maybe come up with a famous like duo who's very much kind of the heart and soul of whatever band they're in and are kind of like the main writers, and they're the ones that have always been... I guess keeping the band going, you know, kind of like Steven Tyler and Joe Perry, that sort of thing. But I landed on this pair because it was just so out there that I just had to do it. So I cast Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley.
I was hoping you were going Hall & Oates, but I love that.
I would like to see Paul Stanley and Daryl Hall.
Paul and Hall. I like it.
But I know that they have some acting credentials. I think Kiss Meets a Phantom of the Park has proven that.
So, if we're using the term generously.
And I think just them playing it straight, it would still be hilarious. So
maybe, awesome. I think it would be even funnier if you didn't tell them it was a comedy and told them it was a drama.
That would make it so much better. But
it worked for Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Yes. But let's move on to Jer.
So in the original, once the Blues Brothers get the band back together, the first thing they need to do is get their instruments out of hock or buy new ones. So they go to Ray's Music Exchange, which is
Emporium,
wonderful,
isn't it? Ray's Music Emporium.
Ray's Music Emporium. Yep. Yes, sorry, thank you. Which is a wonderfully well... lit music store in Chicago that Ray Charles runs. So I'm envisioning a similar scene where they need to, once they have the band back together, go get their musical instruments or new musical instruments. And so they go to a wonderfully quirky music store, and the owner of said store is taking them around, trying to sell them on all of the things that they don't need. He's trying to sell them on these bizarre instruments that make no sense. That still play music. Maybe it's a hurdy-gurdy, but that's a real thing. But it's these sort of handmade instruments that are just really odd and quirky. And it's obviously, of course, Tom Waits who owns the store. And
yes. So I'm assuming you're envisioning Tom Waits' character from Mystery Men.
Well, yeah. That and just Tom Waits.
Tom Waits in general.
Yeah,
good point.
It's just Tom Waits. But he's such I love him in everything that I've ever seen him in acting-wise, and I just love him as a person, and as a musician too, and he has come up, he's created his own musical instruments, and I just think it would be hilarious to just have Tom Waits be Tom Waits and just showing off all of his instruments to this rock band that just needs some guitars and drums and amps, and and then finally breaking into some sort of weird Tom Waitsy song in the middle of it with them as backup, similar to Ray Charles and stuff. But
I think he could probably have a spinoff that's just him trying to sell these instruments.
Yeah.
That could be a sitcom of its own.
But that's my pick. Tom Waits is Tom's music emporium.
I like it.
That's awesome.
Andy.
So also in the movie, the Blues Brothers play a gig at Bob's Country Bunker, where they manage to pull off enough versions of the Rawhide theme and Stand By Your Man to appease the drunken, rowdy crowd of apparently cowboys that live a few hours just outside of Chicago. But I really liked that scene, and I thought to turn it a little bit, I would like to cast Chris Stapleton to play Bob of Bob's Country Bunker. If you're not familiar with Chris Stapleton, he is a really talented blues and country songwriter and singer. He also looks like a mountain of a man, a gigantic beard, and put him in a cowboy hat and just looks pretty intimidating. So I think it'll be fun to have him as the owner of the bar and looking none too pleased with these guys who show up in their black suits and sunglasses, et cetera, and their fancy horns or whatever. And then also to have Chris Stapleton's music playing in the background a little bit. I'm thinking maybe one of his songs kind of when they walk in to the bar, maybe something like Tennessee Whiskey would be a good one. And then something maybe a little more upbeat when they're in the chase scene as they are running away from the bar. I haven't quite figured out the right song for that one yet, but I'm sure we can find one. So, Chris Stapleton is my choice to play Bob of Bob's Country Bunker.
I appreciate your commitment to the choice there, not only including the acting and the scenario, but also the soundtrack. That's really well done.
Yeah. I mean, the guy. If you haven't had a chance to check out Chris Stapleton's music, I'm not usually a fan of modern country music that's out there because it's just not my thing. But there are a few artists out there, Chris Stapleton, I consider among them, that have a certain style. It's more maybe of a Southern rock blues kind of a thing that I really, really enjoy. And I think his songwriting ability plus his vocal style and guitar are just, they just hit me in the right spot. So
yeah, Chris Stapleton. Great guitarist.
Yeah, he really is. So
nice.
Kyle, who is your musical cameo?
My IROC Z is that's right. T-tops, baby. So no, this is opposite T-tops actually. So I love the scene and I just got so much joy from the church scene. My God, that was amazing in the original. I mean, that band was just ripping and the music was incredible and people doing backflips and the choreography was incredible. I just was like, after at the end of that, I just felt like my jaw was wide open for
that
minutes.
That bass player in that band.
Yeah.
Just did not stop. His fingers just did not stop moving.
Yeah, seriously, it was incredible. So I wanted to do something that would hopefully live up to that lineage. I think like the mission from God aspect of this movie is really weird. Like when I watched it before, I didn't really get it. And this time I like that it adds kind of that sweetness to it. And again, it holds the thinnest of plots together. So it's kind of necessary.
The most gossamer of threads.
Exactly. So I wanted to have something that could do honor to that original. I mean, very few people can bring the energy of a James Brown or the performance of a James Brown. However, I decided to go and kind of modernize it a little bit. I went with Kirk Franklin,
yes,
who is a gospel musician and
oh,
preacher.
And rapper.
Kirk Franklin. And Kirk Franklin has recently done work with both Kanye West and the other person whom I would include on this, which is Chance the Rapper. Yeah. Chance is a independent hip hop artist out of Chicago. He is amazing. I mean, just an unbelievable talent. He has never sold a single album. He gives away all of his music, but he's giving away millions of dollars at a time to Chicago schools. Like he is just truly an incredible success story. He's like 24 or something ridiculous like that. He's just incredible. He's got gospel in his soul. I don't know if you saw the Grammys, but you know, he came up there and he was talking about like every second phrase that he said was like, praise the Lord, you know, great, God is great. I mean, it was like, he was just totally into it. And no matter what your feelings are, you were like, heck yeah, Chance, like right on, man, I'm with you. And I just think that the two of them together, and then Chance has an artist with whom he's worked named Donnie Trumpet. He's one of his main collaborators, plays trumpet on all his records. And then he's also worked with this soul singer named Jamila Woods. They did a song called Blessings together on his record, Coloring Book, Chance the Rapper's record. I don't think they would do Blessings. It's a little too down-tempo, but I think she would be an amazing kind of solo performance in there. So yeah, so Kirk Franklin as the preacher, Chance the Rapper there as the band leader with Donnie Trumpet and Jamila Woods, just bringing home gospel in all its ways.
I would love to see that scene.
Yeah, man, me too. I was so excited thinking about it. I just kept like adding to it. And, oh, yeah. So good.
Chance is like opposite Kanye. He's like he's like bizarro Kanye.
You're right. He is. He's good. He's gentle.
What was the bizarro version of He-Man? The bizarro version of He-Man. What was his name?
I can't remember his name.
There was a bizarro.
He was blue. Right? Yes. Yes, there was.
Yeah. Hold on. I can't think of it.
It was the founding of
that was a different group.
It was
Mixtleplick.
Faker.
That was Superman.
Faker.
I do
good old
Faker.
He-Man and their really clever names for characters. Here's a guy. He's covered in moss. What should we call him? I know. Moss Man. Perfect. All right. Ship it.
Mostrachelli. Wow. All right. Well, that wraps up this first episode here where we talked about recasting major characters as well as those musician cameos. Gentlemen, that was really something. Holy crap. I think when we talked about a movie that couldn't be remade, daggummit, I would really want to see this remake. It's I think it's got
all 11 million versions of them.
Exactly. All of the above. So, yeah, I'm excited about where this is going. Now, part two might dampen that a little bit. We shall see. But man, I'm excited as it is right now. That's good stuff.
Maybe we could do a version where, kind of like what they did for that Bob Dylan movie, where they have a bunch of different directors do different versions of it. Because I would really love to see every incarnation that we came up with tell the story.
Cate Blanchett, Tilda Swinton,
Bill Nighy,
Stevie Wonder, and Tilda Swinton as husband and wife.
Remakers Mark is a proud member of the Math is Hard Network. To find out more information about this podcast or any other podcast on the network, check us out at mathishard.net. There you'll find show notes with links to all of the people, movies, and links discussed in this episode. This information is also attached to the show file in the podcast client of your choice. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes and Google Play, where you can rate and review Remakers Mark, which would mean the world to us. We are on both Facebook, search for Math is Hard Net, and Twitter, at Remakers Mark, so please join in the discussion there too. So, gentlemen, until the next time, man, keep your briefcase attached to your wrist, and you know, destroy some cars, I guess. And
so many cars.
May the force be with you,
and also with you.